Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim and Pastor Sam. And I'm just very grateful to be here for all of you that are here. And there's a reason for you being here today. You know, God brought you here. The Spirit of God brought you here to hear His word, to hear what He's saying in this hour, to instruct us and to guide us and to show us how to live with Him. And I know that my testimony is pretty crazy, but the last words that I've heard when I came back to, I guess, this world, was go back and tell them about my Father. And that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, worshiping and praising the prophets. It's about having a relationship and understanding who God is, our Creator, and how to live alongside of Him and do really to live the will out that He has for us. Because we were all created with a purpose. How many of us realize that? You know, it wasn't like you were like popped out and then aimlessly wandering around, you know, lost. That's most of us in the world until we develop that relationship with God. The world is changing. We're living into a new generation. We're coming into a generation where people are seeing things differently. How many people understand that one? I mean, you look at the younger generation, and you know, and you're an older individual, and you're trying to speak to a child, and they're looking at you like, what are you talking about, you know? And they just see the world in a different way. And God is revealing to us that we need to learn how to adapt in order for us to reach individuals in showing a relationship with God. You know, that's our purpose. Our purpose is really to glorify God and to let people see God through us and in the midst of the tasks that He calls us to do. He moves upon our heart, gives us, you know, these, I guess, jobs, if you want to say, and He causes us to interact with the world. And through that, they can see God. Like you heard Pastor Tim talk about how he saw the love coming out from his aunt. And, you know, and perfect love casts out that fear. So you have Pastor Sam talking about fear. And one of the greatest gifts is for us to have love. And that love casts out, I want to say, the darkness of the world. Because we were born in fear, actually. Think about it. We're born, and then we look around and say, what are we supposed to do? You know, we have no direction, no guidance, no nothing. And we need to depend on our Creator, the universe, however you want to word the supreme being of our Creator, the one who is with us and in us, and have that relationship so that He can guide us, lead us, and direct us. And I'm very grateful for what and how He changed my life. It was very unique. I had no issues or problems, but I was very empty and lost. And it had nothing to do with not having any money. It had nothing to do about not having any friends. And I had nothing to do with, you know, having a career, because I had everything. And but there was something inside that was dying and just lost in direction, lost in purpose, lost. And then one day, boom, God showed up in my life and took me and revealed mysteries and the ancient secrets, I call it, and put a passion inside of me and literally changed my life. Some of you might know my testimony, some of you might not. Hopefully, Lord willing, there'll be statements or some type of book that might come out one day. We're still working on those things, but it's all in God's timing. But we're reaching a generation, and I believe that there's also a revival that is coming. And most people think that this revival is for like the end of the age, but I believe it's a beginning of a new age where God is raising up generals to be endured with a power that is being poured out to allow us to be able to see this generation that's coming up. I shared with some of those that are close to me what I truly believe is happening And this, we are evolving into a new heaven and a new earth. And the way people are starting to see is they are being born and being brought up in a realm of love and mercy. If you look at the life of generations, compassion and love is really abounding. How many people would see what I'm trying to say here? I mean, you look at the younger generations, and I remember seeing just the children in this ministry and how they just loved the loved life of a bug, loved life of a leaf. You know, generations before this, we'd stamp on the bug and we'd rip the leaf off the tree and not even think that there was any feelings, you know? But we're starting to see the world through different eyes. And God is building us up to be able to see life the way he wants it to be. And God is love, an unconditional love that we can't even comprehend. Our minds aren't big enough. We can't absorb love and as much as we would like because of a lot of habits, I want to say, dark habits. And most of those dark habits are anxiety, fear, and worry. Every day we have these knocking at our door. Every day they seem to be our best friend. Hey, come on, let's go. Let's be afraid today. Let's worry about, you know, what's happening today. And let's get all anxietied up. You know, let's get all nervous up, you know. What happened to our patience? What happened to our peace? What happened to our joy? You know, God wants us to be saturated in love. But we don't know love. And this is one of the reasons for this ministry, this purpose, our calling, is to allow us to embrace this mystery of love and to embrace this creator, this God, supreme being, what we call God or the universe that we can't see, yet his spirit dwells in each and every one of us. And I'm a big believer that we were born with his spirit. It's not like you have to come one day and accept it. It's just one day you have to acknowledge it. You have to be enlightened by it. You have to realize that, oh my God, I got it. Now, something happened in my life that dramatically empowered me with the spirit. And I'm not talking about empowerment. I'm just talking about an acknowledgement of knowing that you're a child of God. You have a divine nature inside of you. You're a good person. I don't care how bad you are. You actually are a good person. I used to always say this as an example. Usually the rough, rugged, raw-looking guys, the ones that are just like, rah, you know, like myself, are the first ones that will like run to a child who fell off their bike, where you have most of the ones that are, you know, dignified and, you know, clean cut looking and seem successful are the ones who will walk by, you know, kind of. And that really has a reflection on pride, but that's a whole different message. Today, I want to really elaborate on something that the Lord has been laying on my heart, and it's really about prayer. A lot of us want to know how to pray. A lot of us want to understand what prayer is, and I want to share what God is revealing to me about prayer. There's three types of prayers. There's a prayer where you would minister and pray for others, and we do that here. Sometimes after service, we'll pray and minister, and usually, you know, we pray for healings or deliverances or, you know, whatever things transpire. And then there's another type of prayer, which is called corporate prayer, you know, where you come together in agreement and you begin to do a corporate prayer. But I want to focus on today about you as an individual and how to pray. And a lot of us think, you know, we come to God with a request. And how many are normally do that? You know, we have a punch list or whatever, and we have things that we want to ask God for. And so we kind of just begin to start, you know, praying and saying, Lord, you know, this is, I want a good day today, you know. And, you know, and you might start off saying, thank you for allowing me to get up this morning, and thank you for the sun now, you know. And And then you might say to yourself, Lord, I want to, you know, I got a job interview today, or I need a job, or, you know, I want, you know, blah, 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 and a blah, blah. But God is beginning to instruct us and guide us and lead us in a way that prayer is not a request to God, as you might want to think. And I don't want to disappoint you in a way of saying, oh man, you know, I kind of like giving God my punch list and stuff. But God is really saying to us that prayer is more of an attitude, a more of a life. Prayer is the way you carry yourself and you handle yourself and the way you have a relationship that you trust God. Prayer is a form of life that doesn't stop. You know, God has this scripture verse that says, pray without ceasing. And basically what he is saying is that you conduct your life and carry yourself constantly, knowing that God has your back. He already understands your life. There's a scripture verse that I want to start off reading. And I want to share with this in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter, let me see. I got it written down here. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says here, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And basically what he's saying is, I didn't create you to destroy you. I created you for a purpose. I created you for a life. I created you a life. I created you not to be destroyed. I created you not to walk around and really waste your time in fear and worry and anxiety, because all that has to do with the future. You just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you have a hope and you have a dream and you have a desire and you just want it, which you have every right to feel that way. I got a lot of things in myself that I want. I just got to learn how to be patient. There's a lot of things that I desire that I just have to wait and wait upon the Lord. And if you do wait upon the Lord, then it says that you'll be mounted up with wings like an eagle. You know, you'll endure strength. And I think our weakness has a lot to do with waiting. Who likes to wait? And if you raise your hand, I'm going to call you a liar, because no one likes to wait. Everybody wants things now. Amen? Think about it. I don't want to wait. I'm tired. I have a lot of things that are inside of me that I want. And guess what? Guess who put them there? Not me. God already knows our hopes and he knows our future. This is the truth. And because we know the truth, we embrace it and we hold on to it. This is what sets us free. Right now, we're in bondage. Right now, we are tied up and we are put in a realm of bondage based on fear. And we don't want to be people with fear. Fear is like the worst thing that you can have in your life. Fear strips your health. Fear robs your future. You know, does anyone understand faith? Faith is a power. Faith is a mystery. Faith is something that I want to say is embraced around belief. Okay, I won't say faith is belief. I'll say faith wraps itself around belief. But faith is a power. It's a substance that brings into existence the things that don't exist. And you know, faith works on bad stuff too. Not just good. Everybody thinks that good stuff is only faith. But if you're embracing worry and fear, and you're believing it, guess what you're creating? You're creating death in your life, destruction in your life. You're creating robbery, legal rights of robbery. And this is why it's so important that God is saying in this hour that I want you to understand how to pray. I spoke earlier in my opening that there's three types of prayer. There is a corporate prayer, and then there's ministry, and then you yourself, you pray, okay? And our prayers shouldn't be a punch list of what we want. God already knows our hopes. He already knows our desires. He created a future for us. He already created life. So the things that we want, the things that we desire, the things that we hope for is all God's creation inside of us. It's not yours. You didn't drum it up. You didn't make it up. You didn't go sit there and try to figure out something and develop hope. Hope is a gift. It's a gift of life. And without hope, you're dead, right? Without hope, you're dead. You have no life. So that life comes from God. And if we understand the truth will set us free. And this is where we're here, to bring truth to a lost, dying world. We have many, many people that are listening over the internet, and I want to thank all those who are listening around the world. And it's encouraging to me to know that people are being set free for the truth that we have this to give. And it's not a difficult, complicated truth. It's a simple truth. How many people have been sitting under this ministry and realized the simplicity of the truth that is here? And that's what makes it so wonderful, because it's not up here with some of these big persuasive words and then you walk out and say, oh, what did he say? You know, it's applied that we can embrace, but we have to believe it. We have to embrace it. And if I tell you fear and worry is bad, I'll tell you right now, you better learn how to fight it, because it's bad. You better learn how to war. This is like an intercession. This isn't prayer. Intercession is totally different than prayer. Right now, we were called to a 40-day fast. My fast, and I'll share what my fast was first shave my head. My hair's starting to grow. We'll see how long it is in 40 days. My hair was down to past shoulder length and wore my ponytail, and I liked my hair, and next thing you know, vroom. How many guys love their hair? Well, I used to say, don't touch my hair. Hey, you can touch any, just don't touch the hair, you know? You know, and that was a humility on my part. You know, God knew what can humble me. So I said, okay, Lord, you want me to shave my head? Great. Then the next thing was, I'm thinking my fast was going to be food, and, you know, or I'm trying to find out what I needed to resist. Because fasting is a resist. How many people understand that one? God calls us to a prayer and a fast. Now, I spoke about what a prayer is, and I'm going to continue to talk about what a prayer is. A prayer is an attitude, a disposition, an understanding. When we pray without ceasing, God calls us to pray without ceasing. So when I was touched by the Lord, I had such a zeal, and you know, I was like an infant with a lot of zeal. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray without ceasing. And so I'm over here 24/7. I'm praying all in tongues and everything. I'm praying. I'm like, this is getting old. I don't know how. Holy mackerel, I got to do this like 24/7, you know. And I'm praying in my mind. You know, I'm looking at somebody, they're talking to me, and I'm talking in tongues in my mind. You know, I say, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to praise you. I want to worship you. I want to pray. Then he began to laugh at me. You know, and God has a lot of humor, I'll tell you. He's laughing at me, and I'm like, what are you laughing about? I love you, you know? What are you laughing at? What are you, come on, share me. And he's like, you funny, funny little boy, you. Prayer is a disposition of knowing who I am. Prayer is loving you with all my heart, soul, and mind. And if you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're praying. You're praying without ceasing. You are carrying yourself and trusting in me, and you're casting out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now you're fasting. Prayer and fast. Prayer and fast. And the beautiful thing was, I started this fast 40 days, and the Lord began to move on my heart, and he started to say to me, I want you to fast fear. I want you to fast worry. I want you to take it to the next level. We all have fear. And we all have worry, amen? I mean, even when things are good and you got, you're on board. I mean, everything, the sun is out every day. You still got fear. There's still a little leaven. And that little leaven spoils a whole bunch. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this task on. And I'm going to pray this one out. Prayer and fasting. I'm going to fast this fear out of me. And do you know, all of a sudden, bombshells started coming. when God puts something on you and you take that task, guarantee, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to test you. I mean, he's going to put you through those testings. And a lot of testings are coming, but you know what? I say, Lord, I love you. You know my desires. You know my hopes. You know my dreams. You planted a purpose and a future for me. So I'm going to laugh at darkness. I'm going to laugh at the devil. I'm going to laugh at this principality and power that tries to attack me. Because I want perfect love. And perfect love casts out all this fear. And we need to learn how to embrace our Creator. We need to learn how to embrace, because God knows. It says in Jeremiah 11, right? Chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts and I think towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That in itself. Now I'm just waiting. The waiting game. Nobody likes the waiting game. If you're like me, I hate the waiting game. I despise it. And that has anxiety. That's part of anxiety. If you can't wait, then you get anxiety. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of people who suffer with anxiety. I got my thing on Facebook, and if you want to follow me on Facebook, you're more than welcome, but don't look at my friends, because I want to tell you right now, I got the most bizarre, weird friends out there that you ever, because I want to reach them. You see, I see a crazy one, and I say, I'm going to friend that one. I see another crazy one, and I'm going to friend that one. I'm friending all the ones. I got the anxiety groups, I got the depression groups, I got them all. And I'm reaching them, you see? So don't judge me on my friends, please. you'll see the worst. I eat with the worst. But with all that being said, God is saying to us about prayer. And as an individual, I want to relieve you from feeling obligated to pray. And just know that it's a way of carrying yourself. It's a way of tapping into trusting in God and knowing his love for you and knowing that he created you with a plan and a purpose. We just have to fast. We have to fast fear and anxiety. We have to fast worry and let God play things out. Because when we apply good faith, we're creating good things. If we apply bad faith, we're creating bad things. So if you're adjusting to love and peace and joy, and you're believing all good things, and you're meditating on all good things, and you're applying faith in that, then you're creating good things. If you're going to be a hot mess, and you're going to worry, and you're going to think everything is falling apart, and you know nothing's going to work out, you're creating bad things. How many people understand this one? You know, Jesus, I love some of the things that he said. And he looked at the disciples and he says, aren't we all gods? Aren't we all gods? Technically, the reality of it is, God dwells inside of us. We take on his image through truth. We take on his power. Then we manifest his glory. Wouldn't that be the image of him? I want us to open up our minds. I want us to get out of this place and realize who we are. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And, you know, we spoke of some several series, and I hope that you're able to get on there and log on and follow, because these series are showing us how to become sons of God, children of God, daughters of God, and be able to walk in power, might, call things into existence. This stuff is real. When you're lost and you're confused and darkness is over you, you have no hope. You have no dream. You have no future. And then you might have a strong will. No, I'm not going to let myself die. I'm going to have a hope. No, things are going to get better. But you're manifesting in your will. Your mouth confessed, but your heart is so far from it. How many have been victims of that? Where, you know, how's everything? Fine. And you're walking around with this smile, but inside you're rotten. You're not letting anybody know how you feel. And you're all troubled up and your whole world is falling apart. How many are victims of that? Let's be real. You see? But God knows. And what I'm here to tell you is that we need to grab hold of this truth, understand what is happening inside of us, know the truth, and not allow this faith to bring destruction into our lives. We have to grab hold. I sometimes pray in this way. God, deliver me from the evil one. Okay? Now, I'm going to share something with you. How many have been here last couple of weeks where I've been speaking about the Lord's Prayer and showing you something here as far as the Lord's Prayer? I want to go back to the Lord's Prayer here, because it says here, it says about prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And that secret place is really in your heart. So he's basically saying, you know, when you go, don't really manifest what's happening. Just kind of keep it to yourself, which I try to do. I don't give you the happy face if I'm not happy. I'll let you know it's interesting. How's things going in your life? I'm getting through. I'm fighting a war, you know, just like you. You're fighting a war, but you're not letting me know you're fighting a war, but that's okay, because we're all at war. How many people understand we're all at war? Every one of us is suffering. It's just a matter of how we're handling the suffering. That's what it comes down to. We're all suffering. No one has it great. No one has it perfect. You know, money can't buy love. Okay? It's we're all suffering. And I'm willing to accept the fact that I'm suffering. I'm humble enough now. I've been beaten down and ran over many times and saying, what do I got to prove now? Yes, I'm suffering. We're all suffering. And everybody's suffering is different. But the suffering is hitting our peace, and it's hitting our joy, and it's hitting our righteousness. Because a lot of times we feel like, what did I do wrong? Every time we suffer, it's like, what did I do wrong? If something's out of whack in your life, what did I do wrong? How many people feel that way? It's almost like a natural instinct. I call it the sin nature. The sin nature kicks in, and right away it wants to condemn us as if we did something wrong, and we didn't do anything wrong. We just have to renew our minds, and most of all, renew our hearts. And this is the part that I want us to really grab hold of. Renew our hearts. Our mouth confess one thing, but our heart is saying another. And I'm going to tell you, our hearts are deceivingly wicked. It lies to us. It tries to tell us things, and it's not the truth. We have worry down in there, and, you know, it takes hold of us. And we can't always subdue worry, and we can't always subdue fear. And he says, this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting is a sense of knowing who God is, loving him with all your heart, soul, and mind. You can cry to him. I cry to him. Lord, deliver me from the evil one. That's my cry. Take this evil thing and deliver me. Or lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. Deliver me. I want to be delivered. Because I'm tired of having these pressures on me. How many of us have pressures? And most of them are created by our own imagination. 99.9% it's created by our own imagination. We come up with scenarios and we base it on, you know, maybe the past or whatever it might be. And we're also trying to protect ourselves. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to lose again. We just are tired of, you know, picking ourselves back up, hitting the mud puddle, picking ourselves, cleaning ourselves back up. When the reality is, God doesn't really want us to protect ourselves. He wants us to lay our lives down. I'm going to go back to the Lord's Prayer because Jesus spoke, and I refer him as my brother. I want the world to understand this because divisions I look at is because of the prophets. I believe most divisions in this world are based on the prophets of this world. How many people are seeing what I'm saying? And I look at Jesus as my brother. I'm also looking at him as Christ. I look at him as the Son of God. I look at him as the prophet. That's how I see him. You'll see my testimony maybe one day. You'll understand. But God is the creator of all. And he loves the whole world. And we have to embrace this right now. At this appointed time and the age that we're living in right now, we have to throw away the old religion and embrace this truth that is being told, the revelation of this truth. And God wants to be the focus point. I'll get into prayer, and if the Lord wills, I'll talk about group prayer and, you know, the power of Jesus' name. How many people have heard that saying there? In Jesus' name. Okay. Real quick scenario. Jesus was trying to show the apostles the power that is within their faith. And because of their unsurety and uncertainty, okay, he said, in my name. Do it in my name. Use me. For example, I have a great man here, Tim, okay, and he's a good man, and he's got a lot of power, a lot of clout. I'm going to go to the guy he knows and say, Tim sent me, because I want that guy to listen to me, right? Oh, Tim sent you? Okay, I'm going to listen now. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. Tell him in my name. They'll come out. You go cast out devils in my name. You'll see. They'll come out. Hey, devil, come out. And you know Jesus? Okay, I'm out. Okay, I want you to understand that. Okay, so we can move on. We can go on. Okay? Where the shadows of Peter healed the sick. You understand? Where you walk with a glory that is around you. And the devils go, ah! Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? You know, where they're screaming around your presence. I've already seen that manifest. And I'm so grateful. Which allowed me to understand the truth. God wants to endure you with power. To where not only the devils around you flee, but the devils that are encamped in us flee. Fear has no more power. I hope and pray after this 40-day fast that me resisting and prayer and fasting, resisting the amount of fear, power, principality that I have in me, I hope and pray that I knocked it down a notch or got it out altogether. Whatever, I'll know after 40 days. I'll say, Lord, you want me to do another 40 days? I'll make it a lifestyle. You see? Until I live without fear. And I truly believe it's possible that you too can live without fear. It's a choice. We have a free will. Who are we going to serve this day? Are we going to serve mammon or are we going to serve God? Who are we going to serve? It's a will. I want to surrender my will. I want to give my will to the eternal realm of glory. I made a commitment in my heart. I don't have anything else to live for, really, if you think about it. When you taste and see this glory, there's really nothing else to live for. What are you going to live? You can't buy it. You know, you want to buy the glory. You can't buy it. There isn't enough money to buy the glory. There's not enough to renew your mind in the sense of freedom. And when you taste and see, you'll never want to taste and see anything else. But I'm going to get back to the prayer. So, and it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, fear allowed me to be like that. I was a victim. You know, I must have prayed the same prayer 4, 5, 6 times a day. Because I was like, oh, Lord, please let things go well today. Oh, God, you know, I really want, you know, this happen today. Please, Lord, please. Like, he's really going to, like, you know, hear and say, okay, you know, all right. Since he asked me 20 times, I think I'll do it now. Well, one more time. Come on, ask me one more time. One more time, and I'm going to do it. How many of us are victims of that? And really what it is, you know, God is saying, oh man, get rid of the fear. You know, I heard you once and you're going on and on and on and on. It's not that I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it. You just need a little bit of patience. You know, get some love in you and get rid of the fear. Get rid of that thing that's causing you to use vain repetitions because, you know, I'm listening. This one 100,000 times, this one 100,000 times, this one 100, my God, give me a break. I want to sleep a little bit, you know? It's like, wow, 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 wow. I can just imagine God up there with a whole bunch of wah, 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 wah. I think God is saying, you know, Jim, tell them I'm a little tired right now and I just want to cut out the want, want, wants. And I just want them to know that I got a hope and a dream for them and just be patient. I'm working things out. I'm putting things in order. I got it all together. I'm building. You know, God's building something in your life. He's establishing and he's building something. And it takes time to build. Look in the natural. How long does it take things? Man, sometimes it takes forever, right? It's like, when is this house ever going to be built? You got to wait on this, you got to wait on that, you got to wait on this, you got to wait on that. Some things are totally out of your control and you still got to wait and you got to wait. And you might even go there 10 times and say, I've been waiting for this permit now. When is this going to happen? And, you know, then you got the weather and then you got all unseen circumstances that are coming around. And you got all kinds of stuff. And then, but what happens? Eventually it's built. Eventually you move in. Eventually everything's in order. Everything looks nice. Time. You have a dream. You have a vision. Just look at it and start thanking God because he gave it to you to begin with. He gave you that dream. He gave you that vision. He gave you that desire. He gave you that want. He gave you everything that's inside of you. He gave it to you. What we're not doing is we're not praying right. We're not fasting right. We're not applying the truth and the faith of power in our lives properly. And we need to understand how to apply this in our life and allow God to work things out in the heavenlies. There are many things that are happening over each and every one of your lives. I'm looking at you right now, and God is revealing some things to me, and he's working things in your life right now and establishing good things. And we just need to hold tight. He's really happy. He's happy with you. And it's awesome. Things are going to get better, and security is going to come. You know, everyone likes security. Amen? I like security. Security is coming. And those dreams and hopes and things that you desire are all from Him. What robs us, steals from us, and kills us is when we work along darkness. When we buddy up with darkness and we bring Him around and we entertain His disease. Fear, worry, anxiety. When we impute the power of darkness, we're literally creating robbery. How many of us are pessimistic? Oh, it'll never work. Oh, it's so far away. Oh, I'm too old. You know, all that. Oh, it costs too much money. How many of you throw those things out? Shame on you. Because there's nothing too big for God. See, we need to understand if He put it in us, it's His will. It's not for us to figure out how He's going to make it happen. We just need to begin to glorify Him. Now, I'm going to take a step back here and get us back to that prayer, okay? Because we all want to learn how to pray, right? We all want the will of God in our lives to manifest. I thank God for the revelation because now I can just sit back and thank Him. Now I could just sit back and stop all the nonsense and all the worrying and the fear. Stop giving darkness power to steal from me all the time. Just when I think I get there, I worried today. Now it empowered the darkness to go rob it and give me 5 more steps back. How many people are tired of taking 10 steps backwards? Well, you're going to love this message because it's going to allow you to just keep going forward. I want life. I want not only life in my life, but I want it in my family. I want it in my children. I want it in those that are around me. I want them to see God. I want them to see the power of God. I want them to see nothing more than victory. So Jesus said, don't pray those repetitious words. He says, therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask them. That in itself should wake us up. He already knows what you need before you even ask Him. So Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, your dreams, your hopes, your visions, all that stuff, your desires, your will, in the sense of your wants, are all heaven. They're all in heaven. They're all in heaven. They're in heaven. You just don't understand that you inside is heaven. Okay? That's heaven. This is heaven. So your desires, your dreams, your hopes, your visions, all that stuff, all those things that make up who you are, it's literally heaven. They're in heaven, just waiting to come on earth. So basically, Jesus is saying, listen, carry yourself and understand the truth. Your wills, your desires, your hopes, they're in heaven. And God's preparing things. He's working things out. He's establishing. He's building your hopes. He's building your dreams. Just give Him some time. He already knows what you want. You don't even have to ask Him. He already knows what you're going to ask. He already knows what you desire. He already knows. So now all we got to do is come to this place. Give us this day our daily bread. Meaning, let us hear your voice. Let us hear your will. Let us hear your guidance. This is why it's important to come here so you can hear that fresh word of God directing you on how to live. Because I think within the last 5-6 weeks, we've learned a lot. Amen. Basically, understanding what God is looking for us to do. Because He's doing something in this hour and He's preparing His people in how to carry themselves. You know, if He's going to pour out, let's say He didn't tell us about fear and how to handle fear. And let's say I was one of those ministers that had a book on messages, and I'm on day 52, and I'm talking about something here on day 52 and not really hearing about what God is saying. And all of a sudden, what God really wanted us to hear is how to handle fear. And I'm talking about something else on page 52, because I got my year's messages set. And He does something. devastating, an earthquake, or a famine, or something. And all of a sudden, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to get all worked up and fall into fear. But if we heard the word and God says, listen, I want you to handle fear, grab hold of it, master it, put it under your feet, and you did, and then all of a sudden a disaster came, and you're already equipped. Ah, no, man, I beat fear. I'm not worried. God loves me. Everybody else can fear, but not me, because you know why? God loves me. You see, we renewed our minds and we renewed our hearts because of the instructions of what God is saying. And I truly believe that God is instructing us in this hour on how to pray, on how to pray and fast, how to carry ourselves as someone who understands God, knows that he already knows our desires, already knows our request, already knows. I think a couple weeks ago, I said this before. Stop praying. Remember that message? I said, stop praying. Don't pray anymore. God's doing something and your prayers are like, could be going against what he's doing right now. So just stop praying. Now I understand why I said that. Because it was like, our prayers were meaningless anyhow. It was like, why are you praying? He already knows what we're doing. He already knows what we want. He already has things set in place. Now, that's kind of messed up because, you know, I had some righteousness on me. I'm a advocate prayer guy, you know. I'm a prayer warrior. What am I going to do with my prayer groups and stuff, you know, if I'm not going to be tearing down the house? You see? It's going to mess up our patterns, our morning prayers, our punch list, our going to bed prayers, you know. Now, I will say, don't stop praying for others. That's something that we should be praying all the time, for others. I'm only talking about ourselves, okay? God is wanting ourselves to pray a certain way. And that's trusting God with all your heart, soul, and mind. When Jesus said, pray like this, he began to start saying, you know, about the hopes and dreams are in heaven. Let the heaven come on earth, you know, as on earth as it is in heaven. Bring it down. Bring my life down. Or bring it into existence, I should say. Then he told us this one. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So there's, do you see a pattern here of a disposition of character? You know, we're asking God to, you know, bring our hopes and dreams. You know, it's like on earth as it is in heaven. Glorify him, you know, praise him. And, you know, give us this daily bread. We want to hear your word. And to be free from forgiveness. You know, to forgive others so that we can be forgiven. And that was a big eye-opener for me, because how do we know if we're not doing the right thing in God's eyes? Nobody knows. Do you know if you're doing the right thing in God's eyes? I don't think, you know, I would like to think I'm doing the right thing in God's eyes. And some people will say, well, we have the guide of conviction. Well, God will tell us when we're not doing the right thing by conviction. How many people understand that one, right? Okay, that's real good. But what if your will overrides that conviction? What if it's like, oh, I know I shouldn't be doing it, but you know what? Heck with it. How many fall into temptation? I know I shouldn't have this ice cream tonight. It's late. But you know what? Ah, I love it. And I eat half a gallon, right? How many are victims of that? I'm not saying that ice cream's bad for you, but the subject of, you know, knowing that you probably shouldn't do it or touch it or whatever, and you fondle it and you have a party. Okay. Because it says here, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So God is creating here a character. A character that you uphold yourself. I'll tell you, this is a real freeing message. Because there are times where you don't know what to pray for. I'm going to tell you, if you carry yourself and listen to this message, you are praying everything you need to pray for. Now, there is another level, and I'll speak that maybe one day if the Lord wills, where we pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for us. And that's a whole different concept, okay? And yes, we can pray in the Spirit based on the divine nature within our heart. For example, if someone is laid heavy on our heart, like a loved one, and we begin to pray for that person, Lord, this person's on my heart. Please guide them, lead them, bring them peace. Whatever's going on in their life, Lord, please comfort them, blah, blah, blah. That's good. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Okay? But at the same time, when we carry ourselves in this place of love, knowing that God has a purpose for us, knowing that He has a plan for us, know that He's setting things on order, and your desires and your dreams are just in heaven. And you're just saying, Lord, bring those dreams on earth. You know my desires, you know my will. I'm just going to start glorifying you, praising you, and I'm going to give thanks in all things. Because I don't know what you're doing, nor do I have your mind. I don't have your mind, and I don't know your ways. And that's why we ask for daily bread. But because I may not know your ways, because I didn't get the daily bread that day, you know, I'm just going to glorify you. I'm going to praise your holy name. And then you say to yourself, deliver me from the evil one. Lead me not into temptation. I'm going to tell you right now, temptation is going to come every day. Because God is testing our love. Do you really love me? How many couples test each other's love? We do it all the time, don't we? Think about it. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? How come you don't trust me? Why are you asking me where I'm going? Don't you trust me? So we're tested every day. And God is the same. He wants to make sure you really love me. You know, you confess with my lips, but your heart's so far from me. Can you please bring your heart in line with me? Do you really love me? Do you really love me? So when we can cry out to God in the sense of, deliver me from this temptation, you know, deliver me from this evil one, deliver me. What basically you're saying is, Lord, you know, set me free from fasting, you know, or set me free from the evil one. Let me fast. Let me pray and fast so this thing comes out of me. I know your love. I know your truth. I'm going to fall into this love. I'm going to fall into this truth. And I'm going to just, you know, give me power to resist evil, to resist fear, to resist worry. How often do we truly have a stronghold on us? And let's not be liars. Who somewhat is bound by fear? How about fear for others? Yeah. There's a time where we gotta let it go. I love my three children. And many of you know how I am. Might be an overprotective father. I don't know. But not really. I let them do whatever they want, you know. I trust them unconditionally, don't I, girls? You can say yes. No, I'm kidding. I do trust them. And at the same time, I know that they're getting older. And usually when they get older, it gets harder, right? Because now they have to see the big world. And when they see the big world, there's a lot of big influences out there. And you say to yourself, oh, don't get caught up in this. Don't get caught up in that. But there's a point where you have to say to God, they're yours. And I put them in your hands. And have peace. And let it go. Well, everything that has to do with you is almost like your children. You got to put them in God's hands. You got to put your circumstances in God's hands. You got to take these things that are bothering you and causing fear in you and that you're kind of bound by it, and you got to put them in God's hands. You got to say, look, God, not my will, but your will be done. So when Jesus said, pray like this. He was really telling the disciples, you need a character in Christ. You need to carry yourself, change the way you're thinking, and you need to subdue, cry out with a broken, contrite heart, knowing that you're subject to darkness, subject to evil, and ask for deliverance so that God will set you free. He'll honor it. You know, you're having an awareness of your troubled heart. And I think that's really what God wants you to do, because a lot of times when we worry or we have fear, we don't realize that we're doing it. We're just a hot mess. Does anyone ever fall into that like drama thing? And it's like, you know, some people I think just drama out because of the attention. Like, oh my God, you know, and oh my God, can you believe? Oh my God. And they just like the attention or what have you, which is all fun and dandy, you know, I guess, if you want to play the game. But after a while, it gets a little old. It's like, oh my God, you know, oh my God, yeah. And you just don't want to hear it anymore. It's like, I got enough problems of my own. I don't want to hear your drama. No drama. And that's kind of like the flow of things that are happening in the world, if you ever noticed. No drama here, please. If you want to come, no drama, no drama. I'll hang out with you, but no drama. That's just God's changing. I'm out of time. I got the red light, so I got to stop this message. But with that being said, I want us to really take prayer to a new level. I think God is saying to us, you know, it's time now that we grow. You know, we've been on milk. It's time to have meat. It's time to now carry yourself and know who you are. Let God work power in your life where you don't have to be concerned about things. The shadows are starting to heal the sick. You know, demons are starting to go, ah, I know who you are now. You know, they're not questioning who you are. They know who you are. And it's only a matter of your character. We need to be character builders. We need to start trusting God and loving God and knowing that He created us and gave us a life for a purpose, and that those desires inside of us are going to come to pass. We just need patience. And, you know, those things will unfold. And then use wisdom. Believe me. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. And I truly believe that's the daily bread. Every day we need to hear what God is saying. You know, if our heart is open and we ask, He will tell us. He will show us. He will guide us. Whether He sends someone like me into your life and say, you need to do this, this, and this, or He puts a strong conviction, but we have to be opened. We can't be like that, you know, temptation kind of thing where I see a gallon of ice cream. I know I'm not supposed to eat it, but I like it. And so I'm just going to pound it. You know, sometimes we like the drama. Sometimes we like the attention. Sometimes we like this stuff. And we just got to kind of unfold it. We got to stop. We got to stop and get a life. You know, there are strongholds on people because they have lost their, I don't know, credibility about themselves. So they got to get involved in the drama to get their life. You know, they have to have these big stories to tell or what have you, and all that other stuff to just, you know, got to learn to just be. Be happy with yourself. Be happy with the situations in your life. Just be happy and begin to build that relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Let us just bow our heads for a moment. You know, God already knows where we're at. I'm going to pray. But I'm going to pray for you. God, empower us. You're here for a reason. God has knocked on your door, drew you to Him, because it's time now that He wants to glorify Him in you. That's why you're here. That's why you were led to this place, for God to glorify Himself in you. Your heart has been crying out. He already knows the plans, the purposes. Listen, it's not by accident. And sometimes we got to stop fighting. We got to stop resisting. And we got to just break ourselves down and say, that's it. I got to get under the covering and I got to receive instructions until I'm able to stand on my feet. When I can bring prayer and fasting to the fullness. Father, I say empower your people today. Empower them to the point where the enlightenment convicts their spirit so much where they know that they desperately need this truth. They desperately need your word. And get them so sick and tired of fighting this old game of warring with fear and worry. Let them know the power that is in them. Let them stop being lovers of themselves and let them be sacrifices to you. I pray this now. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to pass this over to Sam.